In the interpretation, he's speaking of grace. Then, of course, you know that grace is it's based on something that you couldn't. You could work a million years and you can't earn it. And we speak of positional truths, things he's given us. We're speaking of his unmeritable, unearnable grace. Well, when he's purchased, provided for something, and you're believing for it. When the highest operations of grace, and in particular when there's giftings involved, such as a gift of faith, he takes that standing that Jesus gave you, and he'll take grace and he'll drop it in your heart, and even without having the victory at that moment, all of a sudden you'll be operating out of a pending victory. It drops in your heart, you have it, you know you do. So you can shout and have a good time and everything because you know that something you didn't deserve, didn't merit, couldn't earn was given to you. Well, I'm recognizing that place more and more as time goes by. One of the most unusual operations of it that I can remember is when we had that line where God said, get into it. He said, for those who want to get in this line, and there's a grace line, and it had to do with getting into condition. That was just a little over a year ago now, did you know it was that long? How many remembers that line? I remember it real well because all of a sudden I stepped back from the line and it fell on me. And I didn't know if I was standing or falling for a moment. It came on me. And all of a sudden that grace took me to the other end of the line. Until then I understood it, praying in the line and instructing you that you're trading your standing for his and your weaknesses for his strength. I could pray that. I understood it as an operation of his compassion. And so that compassion began to operate in me to a level I'd never known it when I broke into it through the private worship and got touched by his love for a minute. Well, knowing how much he loved you, it was not hard for me to walk out and understand that he wanted to compensate for many of your weaknesses, that there's grace available even in a prayer line when God can find what he needs. To this, all of a sudden, just trade your standing off for his, and you inherit that strength that you know that you got it. Things change. They change. Well, he took me to the other end of that line and deposited me in that place that says done. And from that day to this, the 40 pounds that I shed, I think, was... my legs, now they were designed to carry 40 more pounds. And everything about it I loved. I loved the walking. First I tried to run, I shuffled most of the time. Walk between poles and things. Now I got legs designed to carry 50 or 60 more pounds than I weigh. I feel like I'm gliding up here. I tried to understand what happened to me, and I think I can understand addiction a little in the early days, but I never inhaled. I knew I was addicted a little because I lost count. I quit buying expensive pipes. I had one cowhead made out of a steer horn. That got it in Japan, and I liked it. Finally, I'd just buy $1.25 pack of tobacco with a pipe in it, because I threw so many out on the way home from church. Go out and dig the thing out of the car and throw it out the window. Monday at work, I'd run down to the store and buy another one. I can understand addiction. You know, but something in me that was like addiction, it was almost like it craved. I mean, high emotions would come on me and good feelings, and even though my body hurt all over and I shuffled down the road, I still wanted to go. So now that I'm understanding how that worked, that when that grace line falls like that, he'll take you and put you up in the victory, and you're on the path to it, but you got all the strength and everything you need to just walk on through to it. But see, I said that to say this. This is what he's done with me for revival. See, this is what he's done for me. Had to step up a notch in his love. And when finding missing pieces and things, and understanding the attribute of God along with the other eight, but in particular the one he called love, which he said he is. Well, he's the other attributes too, like the sovereignty, but the one we seem to be most interested in is the one he said he is, when he said that he is love. Well, you know, where sovereignty is born, I've looked towards God a lot of times and said, you know, if you're love and you're all powerful, why are you leaving that little kid blind we just prayed for? You know. So if you are sovereignty, then why'd you leave him blind? Well, if you are love and you really love us and all of those things that much, then where's the problem? You loving us all that much, I mean, why don't we just get more stuff? You know, where's this fight coming from? Well, you know, we can get up and talk a good fight and preach a good preach and yell about all our rights and stuff, and most of the time we go home and we don't know why we're not getting them ourselves. I know a lot of preachers like that. Without me getting sidetracked too far, this has been one of the most glorious, I mean, from somebody that's been in the ministry and walking in power for at least 28, 29 years, because I broke out praying. You've been in it that long and you've seen his power. When somebody tells you that he can take an old war horse and teaching something that turns the power up, you should listen. Well, you know, somebody was asking me the difference between compassion and passion. Good question, you know. Paul had a tremendous compassion for the lost. He had compassion. Doctrine motivated him, I mean. It was his call. But his passion was the Jews. When his fellows, apostles and elders, fell on his neck and kissed him, they wept sore, mostly because he said, "You probably won't see my face again." See, that's what passion does. Passion, It's what causes a guy to come alive, and it's what makes it worth living. Well, I have compassion for the lost, mostly. Oh, I have a compassion for His Word. At this point, I have passion for this city. See, God is love. He doesn't have it. He is it. He is. Well, a lot of people would say, oh, I can document a lot of things He's done that says He can't be. Oh, He is. And trust me when I say, if He wasn't, then He wouldn't have done those things. You wouldn't be who you are now, and you'd be lost. The reason anybody had a capacity to be lost is because in the original Son, there was a capacity to be who you are, free. Free, an individual, Son of God. Oh, He has love, all right. I'm just beginning to understand what I cost Him. But it does nothing but cause more of the love of God to activate itself inside of me. He is love. He is. And He can't love the Apostle Paul any more than He loves a drunk that died drunk on the table but was shaken awake for a moment for somebody to repeat, to have him repeat prayer of salvation. And here he goes into a wonderful place. Wonderful. He's amazed that he's there. Well, if it was by price he could pay, he wouldn't be. Yet you say God loves Paul more. No. No, he is. He is love. He doesn't have a capacity to love one of those more than the other. Now, as you've heard me say many times, but our reward isn't based on His love for us. It's based on our love for Him. Well, what Paul received in heaven and where he's reigning from, everything that's happened to him from that day to this, which has been 2,000 years, it's because he loved Him. It's because he loved Him. Paul loved him. He loved him. What's the point of a reward if you've got nothing to overcome? Well, you know he's this love. He is. He is. That means the fullness of that love has been given to me. Not without price. Father judgeth no man. He's committed all judgment to the Son. That's because every human being was judged in the Son, whether they gave their life to Him or not. The fullness of Hitler was judged in the Son for him. And it wasn't just spiritual death. I mean, everything he was judged for. I mean, the fullness of love was manifested in the judgment on Christ. You dare question whether it's available. Why are you talking this way? Most of you want your ministry. You want the equipment for it. Power? Certainly. Did you want a shortcut? You want a shortcut? What do you think God's motivation is? His lack of love for you? You want a shortcut? And find out how to receive what He's already gave you. Well, yeah, the power. Oh, you want more than that? Find out how to receive more of what He's already gave you all of. And God is love. But if I'm not operating in very much of it, it's not because He didn't give it. And if I'm not, then I can't make Him love me more. So I have to go where I'm loved. I'm going to go from where I am to where He is. Are you going to operate in His power? Are you kidding? When He gets me loving the sinner like He does, and He gets me loving the lost like He does, and He gets me to loving the sick children in the mute and deaf home like He does, are you kidding? You know what? I think I'm going to let Him love me. Hallelujah. I think because He is love and He can't love me anymore, I think I'm going to find out how to start receiving it. What did He say in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13? Desire earnestly the best gifts. Yet I show you a more excellent way. Covet the best gift. But I show you a more excellent way. Then he shouldn't have graduated to 13, really. It was still... Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and do not have this love, a sounding brass tinkling cymbal. So you know how everybody jumps on that. You can pray in tongues all you want and it won't do you any good if you're not walking in love. Meek! Gong him. Get him off. He's wrong. What he was saying there, you can speak with tongues and be mean as a snake. Hurt people, you know. But what you can't do is have a habitual, consistent prayer life in edification and stay that way. So when he said, covet earnest the best gifts are the ones that equip your call, not mine. That's what you're supposed to be desiring from Him. It's in your calling what He has for you. And he says, covet earnestly. And you know the word covet, how strong that is. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not what? Seems to be a desire of the flesh that can't be brought by check with anything but the new nature. Lust. So when he said, covet earnestly the best gifts, then switches it over to the other side and says, there's a place in the Spirit where you can desire what He has for you and the equipping of it beyond anything you can work for, beyond anything you can hope for. But when He says, I show you a more excellent way to do what? To covet the best? Yes. Yes. So then, He is love. He is. I can't get Him to love me anymore. What's my problem? Enough wasn't manifested at the cross. What's my problem? The fullness of His love was manifested. So I can't get Him to give me more. But I can sure receive what He's already given me. Now getting to know Him is a transition from God the Father. The Jews basically knew Him as God. There was the teaching of our father Abraham, which spoke of the seed, that in all the nations of the earth would be best, which was Christ. But the Old Testament saints, they're spiritually dead, therefore God's fellowship with them was limited by that death nature. Well, I've been telling you the story about the bird and the cat. The little bitty baby kitten was adopted by the bird. He'd bring him worms and feed him and took care of him. And when they grew up, the bird had sat on the fence, and the adopted cat by a human family, that bird had squawked and had come out, and the two would leave together. The cat to go off to hunt, and the bird just fellowshipping with him and going. It made it to Ripley's, believe it or not, because two natures like that. You cannot fellowship with each other. It made it a phenomenon. Well, God's fellowship with the Old Testament saint was limited. It's limited by their death nature. He had to atone with animal blood and restrict it with law. Well, this transition from knowing Him the way they could not, from God to God the Father, they could not. He speaks of that to the Samaritan woman when He said, "The hour now is my generation." The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that was a positional truth. Positional in spirit was finally out of a nature that's been made a partaker of His divine nature and put into a kind of fellowship with Him. That later when He talked about it, now that you know God, or rather are known of God, you'll just watch Him part the Red Sea. I'm part of the family now. He corrected himself. Are known of God. How can you turn again to the weak and the beggarly element, speaking of observance of days and law, when you have been put into fellowship by a new nature? How could you do that? Well, I have His nature. This transition from God to God the Father, for a holiness preacher starting out, and then an edified one, operated in gifts, and now the knockout punch. First came to Tulsa, there's a lot of talk by preachers of building burnout preachers' homes. Take them in and recover them. Noble, noble adventure. You don't hear about them so much anymore. That's what everybody was raising money for and everybody was talking about in the beginning of the 80s. And when this transition began, it's the only reason a preacher needs a burnout preacher's home is because he doesn't make the transition from God to God the Father. Are you with me? Is anybody having a good time? Question, okay. Can anybody tell me what I'm doing? Keep it up. That's what I'm doing. We'd better talk about this. Since I'm not being restrained by law, And I'm not being atoned for by animal blood. And I'm not being kept at arm's length by God, who can only get so close because of the nature I used to have. I'm known of Him now. I'm known of Him. Hallelujah. I'm excited about it. Well, it seemed, and I've talked about this enough, why He keeps having me prophesy it. When you start entering into it, He'll stop. In this transition, knowing and being known by God, then that never seemed in my whole walk with Him, when I had myself under law for this and that, and my whole walk with Him. And even when I was born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, had a lot of feeling with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Whoa, flying and everything, you know? But it still is not the same as the pleasure that I feel. That finally I could only understand it as the pleasure of the Father when He's been able to teach me who He really is. And that He is not that atrocious creature that everybody talks about. Amen. That He is that love that He's manifesting. And that He will do the things He said, like on the born again trail. And we're going there because He is who He said He is. Amen. I call these the outer limbs. The limbs that just don't support the weight of most that want to crawl out and eat the fruit. I call these the outer limbs. Things about God that people live two lifetimes and don't get to know because the transition's never made. Well, I feel His pleasure tremendously. And by the time God got my mouth that was able to come to His defense, from that day to this, He's not left me alone. I continually slip over and I hear myself prophesying in defense of His character like He's absolutely elated to get to tell you He's not the monster most people thought He was. In this transition, He just taught me something the other day and I was trying to get it over to you and I missed the boat by one peg. Missed the boat. Mark. He used an example of a man of God that all of us honor and have honored. I'm not going to use his name. He was in his 70s when he died. Two complications. And both of them could kill you. And he died. Well, when I start prophesying in defense of God's character when it comes to money, when He said the love of money is indeed the root of all evil, we don't know how much that statement encompasses, but when the Lord taught me that when people make it just about past everything else, they're in that last 40, 30, 20% of just about the best God can have. If nothing else worked, then that usually does. The medium of exchange is understood by every 10-year-old to every 100-year-old. Well, this ministry that I'm talking about did such a tremendous work in the earth. I mean, He's a legend on the mission field when it comes to all the people that was carried out there. I mean, there's stacks of checks this high on his desk. They were witnessed for me. This high that just went to different missionaries around the world. This high. I mean, the person told me. And the man was a legend. And it came to salvations and programs and ways of reaching out to a city. If the same man would have bankrupt, would have owed everybody in the city and everybody in the country. If he would have bankrupt, couldn't pay anybody, then it would have brought reproach on the ministry worldwide, and every 10-year-old to every 100-year-old, whether they were born again or not, would understand that this man has failed God. Yet, when the love and compassion was manifested, it was manifested in the most horrendous. I mean, when Isaiah prophesied about it in 53, he said his visage was marred more than any man, and his form the sons of man. My form's what makes me a man when I stand before you. I'm not a dog. Yet his form was so altered, more than any man, in Isaiah 53:54, in the crucifixion. It wasn't the beatings they gave him. It was when disease. I mean, you want to know deformed. You want to know crippled up. That's what altered his form. I mean, you wouldn't have wanted to know what happened that day. His form more than the sons of men. There is no one that was born or to be born that was more altered, disfigured, contorted, twisted. When he gave his standing to you, it had to be good. You'll not run into anybody that was altered more than him on the day of your disease. You won't find anybody. Well, whether I ever attain to it or not, there's a place in him that he has provided for me, and there is no disease on this planet or anywhere else has the power to cancel out what God has told you to do. Age is irrelevant. If I died tomorrow, I'll come back and slap 6 Saturdays out of you if you say God took me with disease. I'll slap you 6 or 7 times. Then I'll go back home. I'll come back from the dead and work you over. Don't you ever blame God for any of my failures. Don't you ever. Failure as in bad? No, sir. Just didn't get all that he had for me. No, sir. Now, we can shift this any way that I want, and when I'm done shuffling it and draw the bingo card out, and it's going to say the same thing. It's going to say that he loved me enough that he made provision. That is what it is going to say. Well, you know, if it would have been bankruptcy, the reproach would have been sky high. Every 8 or 9-year-old, 10 to 100-year-old would have known reproach was brought, because they understand the medium of exchange. When they're 4 or 5 years old, they want you change. They already know. It's understood worldwide. And it would have been spelled as reproach. And that's what he had went down in history for. But let him slip away into the night from a disease. Nobody even looks twice. And I says, okay, you're trying to tell me something. I know. You're trying to get something over to me. You know what it was? He said, son, it's that indifferent attitude towards something that you've been redeemed from is what keeps the hospitals full. What keeps the hospitals full? Who's going to go? Who's going to challenge it? I mean, no, not when it takes somebody off the planet and everybody yawns, looks the other way like that's normal. It's not. It's that same indifferent attitude towards healing that keeps people from pressing in, that leaves them the same as they are, even though Jesus has already paid the price for it. Well, how can you see it? How do you think? How do you think? These are those outer limbs we was talking about, but necessary. We're going to see revival in the whole city. Necessary, necessary, necessary. I'm not going to let them, in His name, get by with that. Toski, it is that attitude. That part doesn't matter. It's that attitude that keeps a person from going on in to find out what He has done about it. Well, why is the money so? Because everybody understands the consequences. So once again, His love and the fullness of me was manifested. I mean, the fullness for me was manifested in God's love when He laid my place on Him. That moment, He could love nothing anymore. I don't question it anymore. I don't question it. There's no accusations in my heart. I don't question it anymore. And this I have found out, that there's a connection of my nature with His, just like you. And I have found out that the part of me that can be nurtured, reservoir, that has an unlimited capacity to receive more and more of the love of God, that when it manifests itself, it's in compassion. There is no limit to how much of His love my born-again spirit can pull and reservoir and manifest itself in Christ Jesus to this world. Now, can anybody tell me how to suspend your little old spirit in His presence? Can't hear you. What? What kind of worship? Who? You and Him? He's got all eternity waiting for you. What makes you think He doesn't have time for you now? And what makes you think that He wouldn't kill to spend quality time with you in a fellowship of rapport and love between your heart and His? He that has ears to hear, hear. For many are walking in a dry and a thirsty place. Thirsting, desiring for their thirst to be quenched. Only to be disappointed time after time after time. For as many search in the wrong places. And drink that which satisfies not. Didn't I say that when He has come, He will guide you into all truth. He shall receive of mine, and He'll show it unto you. For who is it that can show my compassion to you, spirit to spirit? Who is it that can open the reservoirs of your spirit and pour out the fullness of all that I am when I was manifested both for you and gave you my standing likewise? Le Monti. Tu rakies, okay? La correndes que ese. Timohos que ese. Dole acude tunquere tomate. Hulis que he. For most teach, and most teach truth, but truth that is mixed with error. For most teach according to this life, and they teach much that avails not, and only addresses the temporal. Who is it that can teach you these things that have to do with the heart, the spirit, where man leaves off? This is where I'll step in and quench and satisfy. For your longing for that which you know not. What? For many of you search to only fill the emptiness, but do not know what you search for. Therefore, know this, that you that enter in will first be quenched by my living water, and then the natural will become a great state of joy and victory for you. How many figured that I was going to be prophesying tonight? Did you think I was? I didn't. I had determined to step out here. Tole escroma heske. Dindore edo creso blepetiesi. Nahaleske. For it is my compassion that's manifested in you will take the cross and the manifestation of it. Lo obiski. I'm seeing a cliff and the crowd comes to disease and old age and everything else and causes them to go over the edge. And then they go over the edge. And they fall away into the darkness. Well, this is the second time I saw this vision. The first time was when I was prophesying that Sunday about trying to make darkness come in here so we can talk to it. And they wanted you to take light out where the darkness was, where people were plummeting into the abyss, and the curse of the fall was on them in fullness and age and diseases and institutions, insane asylums, right there. They get crowded off the cliff and fall into the abyss by disease and old age and catastrophes. So what makes you think that in the compassion of God that He'll not work the cross on them first in that healing and delivering them and give them an opportunity to see who I am that they might be saved? But no, not in the complacent place. Who is it that will stand up with the passion of my servant Paul, And who is it that'll single-mindedly set their course with such conviction that I might work that in you which is necessary for what is coming? Amen. The cross will work down. It'll work at the hospital, at the abyss. It'll work in the deaf and dumb schools. Huh? For God so loved who? Did He give Himself first? Or did the world give themselves first? He so loved the world, He what? The word for love there is off the board, you know. It belongs to the Godhead. It was manifested for you in Him when the penalty and the punishment was laid on Him, when the fullness of love was manifested. Well, you know, when you get just a little of it, He'll meet you where the deaf kids live. You think God's defending His character? Does it seem impossible? Well, what if you were the one in the school? Would you want us down the street? Would you? If you were one of them, who would you want on your side? Wouldn't it give you hope to hear some big mouth talking like this across town? The less I'm consumed by my own needs, the more He's meeting them. What's that song they were singing? It's all about me. It's all about me. I got the words wrong, didn't I? Well, what you're saying seems impossible. Oh, yeah? What's it going to hurt you to get to know Him? Anyway. What's it going to hurt for you to get in there and start to worship Him anyway? How many remembers the prophecy that said, how do you know that cities fall somewhere in there in the receiving of the fullness of His love? Boy, you remember that prophecy. Well, I'm starting to come back a little bit. I'm just going to have to worship Him for a minute. How many appreciates what He said? Again. Well, how about helping me out?